Now, you know me. I like to get out and about. I am not a major sports fan, but I'm a bandwagon jumper, and I'm pretty excited about the fact that Toronto is going to be hosting one of the biggest sporting events in the world. It is the 2026 World Cup. We're not going to be hosting it alone, but we'll have a few games here. I don't think we exactly know which games we're going to host yet, but I think it's worth talking about, even if you are not a sports fan per se and are going to the World Cup, this involves your money. And it involves a letter. It's a letter of intent. And I was reading the Toronto Star today. They kind of outlined what's in this letter of intent. It's outlining the city and MLSE's hosting partnership for the FIFA Men's World Cup 2026. It basically stipulates that the company, MLSE, yep, they are going to be kept financially whole for their role in staging the competition. So if they lose any money during this staging of this competition, we will be paying them back. There's also a 60-40 split for the city and MLSE as far as any earnings go. But according to the document, taxpayers will pay for improvements to the stadium and other hosting costs. And why, the reason they say this, is because they have complete faith in MLSE. They feel this city is not going to lose on this proposition because MLSE has done such a good job in the past hosting things like the Pan Am Games, and they've successfully managed BMO Field for years. We're going to invite our friend onto the show. He knows a lot more about sports than I do. He's a sports economist and senior lecturer at Concordia University and friend of the Kelly Cotrera Show, Moshe Lander. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you back. Does this letter of intent sound like a good idea to you?
It sounds like the way things go with these large-scale sporting events. When you host the World Cup, when you host the Olympics, when you host even the Pan Am Games, you become a prisoner to the organizers that put on these events. And so they can hold you to ransom to make whatever upgrades they want to the facilities, even up to the last minute. And so that's why usually these things run way over cost. You know, you want to host the event, then you have to sign up for this sort of thing. It's just the way it goes.
So this isn't abnormal when it comes to professional sporting events and municipalities that put them on.
No, it's abnormal that you were able to see what's in the letter.
Oh.
But no, usually these things are kept very transparent. And that's why when you talk to politicians, they'll always tell you that it's going to bring tremendous economic benefits. It's not going to cost all that much. We already have the infrastructure in place. And then at the end of the event, they always end up saying, oops, we misestimated, and they hand the taxpayers a great bill. So That's the bigger surprise, is that this is already this many years out into the public domain.
Are you shocked by the 60-40 split?
No. Again, you know, if Toronto wants to host the event, where are you going to host it, right? So MLSE understands that they have a lot of leverage in the situation with the city, that if the city wants to be able to put its best foot forward for the world and show what a wonderful place Toronto is, you know, they own all the facilities. So they have a capacity to negotiate for almost anything that they want and to hold the city to ransom, because the threat is, if you don't give it to us, then you're not going to use our facilities, and Montreal will happily host the event,
right,
rather than Toronto.
Because they have the lease on BMO Field. So if we want to use it, we've got to accommodate them somehow. And I understand that they're going to have to move teams out of BMO Field that normally play there in order to accommodate the World Cup. We are on the hook if they lose any money. So if they have to find a smaller stadium in order to put on the regularly scheduled sporting events that are usually held at BMO Field, does that mean we're on the hook for lost ticket revenue, do you think?
Yeah, but it would be at the margin, right? So if they generate a certain amount of ticket revenue at a new venue, let's say that they go play in Ottawa instead, for example, then the city could be on the hook for the difference. You know, where you start end up arguing is, what would that difference be? Right. So Toronto, the city, is going to say, well, not that many fans would show up. The team's not all that good. Maybe it's the time of year where fans wouldn't be showing up because they're going to have an overdose of soccer on television. The soccer club would push back and say, no, this is exactly when we'd have fans showing up. The place would be full to capacity because everybody's in soccer mood. And, you know, then they start quibbling over how many dollars of lost revenue there are. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, when you're talking about a nine-figure event, quibbling over a few hundred thousand dollars is change In the grand scheme of things.
Okay. Councillor Gord Perks is not happy about this. He says we shouldn't be spending public dollars on a sporting event when it's facing the city's facing a budget crisis and an affordability crunch. I mean, at the end of the day, the city may go ahead with this. And if, you know, the taxpayer has to foot the bill, that's not just people in Toronto, because Toronto's already begging the feds and the province for money. So that means everybody in our listening audience could be on the hook.
Yeah. And, you know, I would push back on the councillor and say, is there ever a good time municipally when the budget is not under crisis and there's not demands? So I hear what they're saying, and they're right to a certain extent, but I don't think that there's ever a good time for that. Again, this is one of those things that, do you want to host the event because you feel that this is a good economic investment? Or do you want to host the event because you want the warm glow of having hosted the event, right? The World Cup has never been in Canada, at least the Men's World Cup. And so this is probably a fleeting moment where you have that chance to show yourself to the world. I don't think that it justifies the cost on economic grounds, but I could understand that if taxpayers, whether that's federal, provincial, municipal, said they're okay forgoing some limited amount of tax dollars for the ability to say that they hosted it. Okay. But that's part of democracy rather than it's sound economics.
Okay, well, Moshe, let me ask you this. If it is, we're going to go ahead with the World Cup, it's one of the biggest sporting events in the world. Is it possible that this could be just the resuscitation that Canada's tourist and hotel industry needs, at least Toronto's?
No. I would push back that you said in the lead, and that, you know, you're a bandwagon sports fan.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to try and embarrass you here, but just hypothetically, if I were to push back and say, can you tell me, say, the last five hosts of the World Cup? Have you ever made your vacation decisions based on who hosted a World Cup? I'm going to guess that would make my point that, you know, this is not going to resuscitate anything. Anybody around the world that's heard of Canada has heard of Toronto. I don't think that there's anybody who's going to be, say, in the middle of some North African country that hears of Toronto and says, I've never heard of that place before. Does anybody live there that I know? Like, it's not the basis for how tourism works. So it'll be a very, very short blip for that 1 week where the games are held in Toronto, and then it'll never be thought of again.
Moshe, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate your expertise.
Anytime.
Have a great day.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.